Wise Studies presents The History and Practices of Traditional Hatha Yoga with Dr. James Mallinson. At Wise Studies, we are committed to illuminating the texts and teachings of the world's great contemplative traditions. In this series, James Mallinson, one of the world's foremost experts on classical Hatha Yoga, gives us an in-depth look at the texts, teachings, and practitioners that make up this rich tradition. In this first session, Jim discusses the prehistory that forms the foundations of Hatha Yoga.
Hello and welcome to session one of this course, which is an introduction to Hatha Yoga. Now, what is Hatha Yoga? This is a question I ask myself often. I'm Jim Mallinson. I work at SOAS, the erstwhile School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London, and I'm currently leading a five-year research project into the history and practices of Hatha Yoga. So yes, I ask myself often, what is Hatha Yoga? And the answer is not really that clear. I have to work from some kind of definition, and the place I start is in the textual definitions of Hatha Yoga. So from the Sanskrit texts, which codify its practices, and they were written down. There's a sort of first wave of them from about the 11th to 15th centuries CE. And in those texts, Hatha Yoga is sometimes defined, or otherwise its characteristics are implicit, and its defining features appear to be certain practices, in particular techniques known as mudras. So in the first text that codifies the practices of Hatha Yoga and calls them that as well, is an important distinction, because there's an earlier text which I'll talk about in a later session, called the Amrita Siddhi, which is actually the first text to teach the practices of Hatha Yoga, but it doesn't mention Hatha Yoga once. And so the first text which does teach Hatha Yoga and name all its practices is a text called the Dattatreya Yoga Shastra, which means something like the yoga treatise according to Dattatreya. And in that text, the defining or the distinguishing characteristics of Hatha Yoga are nine of these practices called mudras. Now, they're all physical techniques for manipulating the body's vital energies. And I'll go into more detail about them in a later session. Right now, it's just Hatha Yoga. What does it mean? That's what I'm going to focus on. In a slightly later text, or perhaps contemporaneous with the Dattatreya Yoga Shastra, but a text called the Amaroga Prabodha, which means something like the awakening of all the immortals. In that, Hatha is defined, so the Hatha variety of yoga practice is defined as that which is, the Sanskrit phrase is Prabhanjana Vidhana Rataha, so that which is intent upon or focused upon the management or control of the breath. So that's a key feature of it in these early definition, and that's then expanded in the same text. It also says that Hatha is divided into two kinds according to whether the focus is on the breath or bindu. Now, bindu, again, I'll talk about that in more detail in a later session, but bindu is the vital principle in the yogi. And yeah, something I should make clear early on in these sessions is that the texts I'm dealing with are almost always, well, they are always written from the perspective of a male practitioner, and the prescriptions and teachings are aimed at men. We can infer from them that certain places that women were doing some of these practices and were involved in the practice of Hatha Yoga, but the texts are never geared towards its practice by women. Okay, so in the yogic physiology taught within these texts, the bindu, which is analogous to semen, is the kind of key, or one of the key vital substances which needs to be cultivated and protected by the yogi. So yes, in this Amaroga Prabodha text, Hatha Yoga is identified as yoga in which the control of the breath and bindu is paramount. And then later on in that text, it teaches various of these mudras, these techniques which are used for controlling the breath and bindu. And then in the 15th century, there's a text called the Hatha Pradipika. It's often known as the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, but I would argue that that is that's not really the correct name, because that's never how it's referred to in manuscript colophons. And actually, as a little aside, that raises an interesting point. I mean, I talk about Hatha Yoga, and we often talk about different methods of yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, you know, different, whether it's the yoga of knowledge or the yoga of devotion and so forth. But in those compounds, as they're understood in Sanskrit, the usual way of understanding them is that the first member, so Hatha or Jnana for knowledge or Bhakti for devotion, is the means by which yoga is attained. Because there's a sort of ambiguity in Sanskrit between whether yoga is the goal or the method. So actually, generally, when we see the compound Hatha Yoga in text, it means yoga, as in the goal, being achieved by the Hatha methods. So the text will often talk about just Hatha. In fact, more often than not, they'll talk about Hatha rather than Hatha Yoga. And then they'll examine the methods of Hatha. And Hatha is a very common Sanskrit word meaning force or sort of stubbornness or insistence. And I'll come back to that later on, because we need to bear that meaning in mind as well to understand the origins of where Hatha Yoga has come from. And that's what this session will be devoted to. But in the Hatha Pradipika, so that the name of that text means something like the light on Hatha or the lamp. A Pradipika can mean a little lamp. The lamp on Hatha, so something that casts light on what Hatha is. And in that text, the defining feature of Hatha practice, well, it actually gives a sequence of the stages of Hatha practice. And the first is asana, so posture. The second is kumbhaka, breath retention. The third of these practices called mudras, which I've already mentioned, these various physical techniques for controlling the vital energies. And the fourth is nada anusandhana, or in short, nada. And that means something like focusing on the internal sound, so the sounds that arise internally in the course of yoga practice. And so those are seen as the four stages in the practice of Hatha. Now, of those four, the first three are pretty much unique to Hatha Yoga. And we, in earlier treatments of yoga, so in texts predating the 11th century and so forth, we do get mentions of asana, but they are always simple or relatively simple seated postures for meditation. We also get instructions on pranayama, breath control. But again, that's always a relatively simple method of alternate nostril breathing, generally used for purification. But in the Hatha corpus, we get these more complex asanas, and we get these more complex methods of breathing in and out and holding the breath. So I think it's those the distinctive features. So the complex asanas, the complex breath control methods, and these mudras, these techniques of manipulating the vital energies. The fourth of, as mentioned in the Hatha Pradipika, the nada, listening to the internal sound, is actually found in earlier texts, in particular texts of the tantric tradition. So we can't really see it as a distinguishing feature of Hatha Yoga, even though it's a very important method of achieving samadhi, so absorption in the self is how it's normally understood. Okay, so that's a brief overview of how Hatha is understood in the early Hatha corpus. There are there's a later definition which is very commonly cited in secondary sources in books on the history of yoga and so forth. And that's from a text called the Yoga Bija, which has a verse which reads in Sanskrit, Hakarena tu suryo sau ta karen enduruchyate surya chandrama sur yogad hatha yoga bhidhiyate. So, and the meaning of that is by the syllable ha is meant the sun, by the syllable ta is meant the moon. And Hatha Yoga is so called because it is the union, i.e. the yoga, of the sun and the moon. Now, this appears in this text called the Yoga Bija, probably 14th, maybe 15th century. And that seems to me to be in some way trying to override the actual meaning of the word hatha. The actual meaning of hatha being force or sort of stubbornness. And because the way I understand, and I'll talk a bit more about this later on though, is that the texts of Hatha Yoga were written for a kind of general audience, you know, for you and me, the regular yoga practitioner, not for the ascetics, so the kind of world renouncers, the classical sort of Indian holy men, who are always seen as the practitioners of yoga par excellence within the Indian tradition. And they are renowned, and I'll talk more about this as well shortly, for their sort of extreme ascetic practices. And that really is the first and obvious sense of the word hatha, kind of something that's forceful, something that's difficult. But that, as the practices get translated for a less ascetic, a less renunciatory audience, that aspect of it gets slowly elided. But at the same time, one must remember that the texts that we have that tell us about the history of Hatha Yoga are really just a very small window onto the history of the tradition. And we have to use all the other sources we can, really, to try and reconstruct that history. And in particular, something I found particularly useful in my studies of these traditions is ethnographic, so anthropological research, because we do find that a lot of the culture that surrounds yoga practice continues to exist to this day. So it's very useful to spend time amongst traditional ascetic practitioners of Hatha Yoga as a means of understanding the historical context as well, because one can assume that in some respects it's still being transmitted and practiced as it always has been. So I do quite a lot of that. It's good fun as well, of course, but it's very informative. And the sort of the meaning of hatha, the kind of the lived meaning of hatha as opposed to the textual meaning of hatha, was brought home to me at a Kumbh Mela festival last year, so in 2015 in Nasik, when I was walking down to the river with a bunch of Hindu holy men, Hindu yogis, to bathe on one of the main bathing days. And we passed a sign that had been put up by the local municipal council, a big kind of poster, and it said in Hindi, well, the Hindi went to read, Sadhu Ninda Mahapape Isliye Jatadhari Hatha Yogi Nagna Adi Sadhuon Ka Upahas Na Uraye. Now that means something like, being rude to holy men is a great sin, so do not laugh at holy men who have dreadlocks, a Jatadhari, who are Hatha Yogis, who are naked and so forth. Okay, so you know, this is, you know, if Hatha Yoga is this great tradition that's taught in all these ancient hoary Sanskrit texts, as they like to say in India, at the same time, why would people laugh at Hatha Yogis? And that's because the reason why people might laugh at Hatha Yogis is because the vernacular usage of the term, you know, so the Hindi usage of the term, generally refers to these ascetics who do these really extreme, hardcore practices, such as, you know, holding an arm up in the air for 12 years and so forth, or never sitting down. Now, the texts of Hatha Yoga, as I mentioned, first appear from about the 11th century AD, that is, CE. But that's just the text, okay? Now, it seems pretty clear that the practices would have been going on for much longer than that, and that's what I'm going to look into now, you know, the sort of pre-history of Hatha Yoga. So it first gets codified 11th to 14th centuries or so forth. But what, you know, what evidence do we have? What are the likely forerunners of those practices, and who was doing them? This is what I want to look at now.